Many women are experiencing loss recently. I had my own journey with loss about a year ago after losing my dad to COVID-19. And I sat down for an interview with a lady named Jolita Nash, who ministered to my family during that time. She is a ministry associate and chaplain at the Assemblies of God U.S. Missions, and she's also a widow's program director for Stand in the Gap Ministries. I just wanted to have a real conversation about our journeys through grief. We share parts of our stories and how we found hope along the way. And we just pray that you're encouraged in your own grief journey today. Each month this year, we have picked a topic of focus in women's ministries, and these are just topics that we feel like women either struggle with or face in life, and we just want to bring attention to them, provide some information, some encouragement. And so today, we're going to have a conversation on grief, and grief is something that all of us are going to walk through at some point in time. I think a lot of women have walked through grief in the last year to 2 years. Sometimes grief is about a person that you've lost, and sometimes grief isn't a person, but it's just a loss of some sort in your life. And today I have Jolita Nash joining me, and we are just going to have a conversation about our own experiences with grief and hopefully provide you with just some encouragement, insight, and just practical help on your grief journey. Jolita, thanks for joining me today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Will you just tell us a little bit about yourself to get us started?
Okay. Jolita Nash. I live here in the Oklahoma City area. I grew up pastor's daughter, so we moved around a lot, but I've been back in Oklahoma City since 1985. So this is where I call home.
Nice. Tell us a little bit about, obviously we're talking about grief today, so tell us a little bit about your grief journey over the last few years.
Okay. I have a big family, so obviously we've had a lot of grief over the years, but for me personally, 10 years ago, my mom died, and then 5 years ago, my husband died, and then 3 years ago, my dad died. Mm-hmm. So along with aunts and uncles on the side, and it's been a rough decade.
Yeah.
So a lot of grief. And when my mom died, I thought I knew how to handle grief and I didn't do so well. And so in the losses since then, I've been very determined not to go back to that really hard, dark place where I was when I lost my mom.
Yeah. I know for me, I had experienced loss also when I was younger. Both of my grandmothers died within 6 months of each other when I was in third grade. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty young. Also experienced loss of a cousin in a car accident that I was also involved in that was a big impact to our family. But most recently lost my dad in May. So we're coming up when we're recording this, it's getting close to that 1 year marker. He had a battle with COVID, and so he died back in May. And so walking through grief as a young child versus in the middle years of life versus as an adult, and also walking through grief with different relationships, a grandparent, a cousin, and then a father. Each of those is a unique journey, much as you've probably figured out, different grief journey with parents versus a spouse.
Yes.
So I'd love for you just to kind of talk a little bit about just how you found God to be faithful. Let's say most recently in your journey with losing your husband. Talk about that a little bit, the journey, the walk you've been on, and then how Jesus has been faithful in that to you.
Okay. I've just found that the Lord, He's always there. And when you walk through a loss, it's so hard sometimes because you feel so alone and you don't think that anybody else knows how you feel. But God is there and He understands and He knows, and He's faithful. He's faithful to His word, and He's faithful through family members or friends. For me, it's been amazing that the people I'm closest to now most of them I didn't even know before. God's just brought who I needed into my life. And the faithfulness of God, there's not really a way to fully explain it.
Yeah.
But he's just there.
Yeah. Talk about a little bit of vulnerability here. Talk about the emotional side of the grief journey. Maybe emotions in the beginning. How have they transitioned? Is it ebb and flow? Just talk about the role. It is a roller coaster. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay. In the beginning, my husband had cancer, so we endured a 21-month battle, and it was pretty intense. And there were a lot of things that kind of happened in that last year that were really hard. And so in a way, when he actually passed away, there was this sense of relief. Mm-hmm. And in some ways you kind of feel guilty because you're relieved that they're gone, but they're not suffering anymore.
Yeah.
And they're not causing suffering for anyone else by not being themselves. And so that in the beginning, that was a lot of the emotion, was just trying to work through some of those things. And now he's gone, but it changes everything in your life. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember about 5 months of my life. Mm-hmm. And for me, I take pride in the things I remember. And for me to have a 5 month block of time that I really can't tell you anything about is hard.
Yeah.
So I've noticed in something just as funny as the emojis on my phone. Mm-hmm. Used to, they were all the sad faces with the tears and all that. And now when I want that emotion, I have to scroll to find them because there's a lot more happiness and joy in my life now. I can look back at memories, and instead of bringing all tears, I'm to the point now at 5 years that I'm able to smile more than cry.
Yeah.
And that's a great place when you can finally get there.
Yeah. I think you're a little bit farther down that grief journey than mine is. It still feels a little bit raw.
Right.
Although we're coming up on a year, it's very much up and down. And you may be familiar with stages of grief, but the denial and the anger and the depression and, you know, all these different stages, eventually you get to acceptance. And I think I've hit different targets in all of those and then circled right back around and then jumped all around. Kind of depends on the day. But I think for me, it was a unique situation because right last year in March, right as the world kind of started to change, we had just started hearing about the coronavirus, still didn't really know what to expect or what was going on. I know my place of employment, most people's had just kind of shut down. It was all new to us here in America. My whole family got sick and we were suspicious that it was COVID, but at the time we didn't have testing available for it yet. And then my dad got very sick. And so he was hospitalized and the rest of the family recovered fine at home. But he had a several week hospital journey of fighting. And that was an up and down battle. He was ventilated and able to come off the ventilator. And but ultimately, it was his days were numbered and it was his time to go home. And so we lost him. He died in May of 2020. And so it was extra hard also because it felt we were very much in the, or at least I was very much in the stage of this isn't fair. You know, like, what are you doing, God? When he died, I think we were only at 100,000 deaths in the U.S. So if you do the statistics on that, we were a really, 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 really small percentage of the population that had been impacted by loss. And it just felt, I was angry. I was mad. It didn't feel fair. And so you start there and then you go through, I like you, there are chunks of time that I haven't remembered and that's okay. I think one of the biggest things I've learned though is just to have grace for myself in this journey.
Sure.
And yeah, I think there's been months where I've almost felt like you, I was relieved he wasn't suffering anymore. Waiting on the phone call every single day from a doctor, not knowing what the next day held. I felt like there was an elephant on my chest for 5 weeks. And eventually when He fixed his eyes on Jesus and took his last breath. That elephant wasn't there anymore. Like, I was broken and it was hard. Right. But I could breathe a sigh of relief because he wasn't suffering. Yeah, you almost feel guilty for that. And I think I also, when I've had better weeks or better months, I've kind of felt guilty for that as well, because I'm like, I should still be broken about this. And right. then of course it'll knock me on my feet 2 days later. So I shouldn't get too worried about that. But it is just normalizing the fact that your emotions are all over the place. Let's talk for a minute about, how would you define grief? Maybe physical, because I've learned grief is very, it's manifested physically very much so. So talk about how you would define grief or how it's manifested in your life.
I think grief is just your life after a loss, and you're just trying to find your way. Mm. I mean, that loss will always be there.
Yeah.
But it's very physical. And I know I've said over and over, the one thing that surprised me most was how exhausting grief is. Wipe you out.
Yeah.
I can remember going to work, and I would make it through the day, and I would get in my car, cry all the way home, and go to bed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I lived, because it was so exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I think anything you have come up in your life, it's easy to say no to it because you're too tired.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people, when they deal with loss, they do have physical things happen to them, and especially the first year.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a normal feeling for us. And I think we don't really know how to deal with grief. We're not, it's something nobody wants to talk about, is death.
Yeah.
And so we don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just the casual subject of conversation at dinner with your girlfriends or your family dinner table.
For sure. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah. I think for me, exhaustion, yes. And it comes and goes. You know, there's months where I feel like all I want to do is stay in bed, and then I had spurts of energy, and then a day will hit me where it's just like out of nowhere, I'm right back, you know, in that place. And I think your body almost knows and anticipates what your mind and your brain are going through, because at a really good stretch of pretty good energy. And then when it was like almost to the day the calendar turned from February to March, when we would start processing all these 1 year mile markers, I was like back to bed exhausted. Right. It's like my body knew, like, here we go again, you know? So I think that was surprising to me, because, and my husband and I have been in pastoral ministry. I've grown up in the church my whole life. You know, you care for a family who's lost someone, you feed them a meal after their funeral, and you check in with them a couple of times. But I don't think I had ever really truly understood that journey was just beginning. It was nowhere near done. And so I've learned a lot about the normal emotions and the normal physical things that you go through in grief. And I think you and I have talked about it before. I think there's a lot that the world, and especially as believers, for us, the church, has to learn about grief and how to care for and walk by people who are grieving. So I'd love for you to share just some thoughts on that.
Okay. I think for the most churches, their focus is getting the family through the funeral, dealing with them for maybe a month, you know, just checking on them or whatever. But for families, it's like you said, when the funeral's over, it's really just beginning, because till the funeral's over, you're on autopilot, pretty much just doing what you have to do. This is what we do. And COVID has really complicated that process a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've heard a lot in the last year, is just the normal way that we deal with death has been totally disrupted, as far as families being able to gather with that loved one and then to do a funeral. Mm-hmm. People had to delay and still not do a funeral. But churches, I think we just need to realize it's a long journey.
Yeah.
It's not a week or two and everybody's back to normal. Mm-hmm. It's it's with you forever. But I think the church just needs to become more intentional in just following people and checking in, because most people in grief, they're too tired. They're not going to reach out to you.
Yeah.
It's about us reaching out to them. Exactly. And, you know, what do you need help with? What can I help you with? Or, and sometimes you don't ask the question. You just say, I'm going to the store. What do you need?
Yeah.
You have to be very intentional in your questions to people that have suffered a loss.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they don't know what they need.
Yeah.
And for you to say, oh, let me know, they're not. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that.
You and I have talked about about this as well, but there are definitely helpful and hurtful things that can be said by others during a grief journey. And I think partially the reason we may not care for those who are grieving super well is because it's awkward and maybe we just don't know how. It's not talked about a whole lot. And so I mean, I have some thoughts on this too, and I'll be glad to put mine in, but let's start with the positives. What things are helpful to hear from other people? Like what phrases, what's helpful?
I think for me, what was helpful was just for someone to show up and say, I can't identify with how you feel, mm-hmm. but I'm here.
Yeah.
And you can look back to Job in the Bible.
Yes.
And, you know, his friends, they came and sat with him.
Yeah.
They didn't come try to fix him.
Yeah.
They came and sat with him. Mm-hmm. And I think for most of us, we want to fix people mm-hmm. and we, you know, want to say the right thing. And sometimes the right thing is saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just being there.
Yeah. I think it's awkward to learn to sit mm-hmm. in grief.
Yeah.
To sit with Jesus is sitting with us in our grief. And also it's just unusual to navigate sitting with others in grief. But yes, that is the most helpful phrases. I agree would be, I'm so sorry. I can't begin to understand. I'm here.
Right.
I'm thinking of you, praying for you. That's where it's at. Cards in the mail. Mm-hmm. Like we've kind of, that's a lost art, but one that, I just feel like so many times the Lord must have prompted people at just the right times because something would show up in the mail on a day I really needed it, or thoughtful gifts, wind chimes that you can continue to hear. And, you know, just there's certain ways, certain things that are tangibly, practically super helpful in grief.
Yes.
There are also some phrases that are really unhelpful during grief. And I want to go there today because I've experienced it and you've experienced it. And I think people mean well. I don't think that it comes from a place of they're not trying to hurt us. But it's not the most helpful thing to say during grief. So have at it. What are the things that were hard for you to hear?
I would say probably the biggest one was when people would be talking to you and trying to make you feel better, and they would start the sentence, well, at least, and so maybe it was, well, at least your kids are older, or well, at least you got to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Well, at least, you know, he was a Christian, you know where he is.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear at least, because that's not helpful to me.
Yeah.
You know, he should be here.
Yeah.
There's not any at least about it. So I would say that's the biggest thing. And then, you know, lots of people, I think they get nervous. They don't know what to say and they say the wrong things. But I've had countless people tell me, you know, so-and-so told me how they know exactly how I feel. Their dog died. And our pets are part of our family, but they're not a husband or a brother or a mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even though people say the wrong things, it's a place for us to exercise grace.
Yeah.
Because we've probably said the wrong things in the past too.
Sure.
Until you're in that, you don't really see the whole picture.
Yeah. I think the one that always got me was, heaven just needed a more.
Yeah.
Now you got your little guardian angel looking over you. I mean, I know it's well-meaning, but it's not helpful. It really isn't. So your safest, most helpful comments are, I'm so sorry. Can't begin to understand what you're going through. I'm thinking of you often. Yeah. I'm praying for you.
Right.
I'm always here. and then just show up with that meal or show up with that gift or show up to clean their house or, you know. I think the other thing that really, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I'm part of a grief share group at a local church. And one of the elderly widows in the group was telling me about how at their church, they're assigned a deacon when they become a widow. And that deacon and ideally his wife or whatever just kind of follows them and checks in on them and is like, that's their point person. Mm-hmm. And I thought that is a beautiful way for the church to care for widows. Yes. Because especially, of course, male widows as well, but female widows, mm-hmm. who may have greater challenges in keeping up a home, oh, or yeah. projects around the house, or you just, there's so yes. many things navigating just the paperwork and the day-to-day transitions. But how helpful to have a specific person that is shepherd over right. caring for
I
you.
I love that.
I was just mental note, like I'm going to do that yeah. in the future or figure out a way yes. to make that happen. Any other thoughts on how the church can best help those who are grieving?
I think they need to follow up for at least a year, you know, every few months. And I've kind of tried to make it a practice when I know someone lost, for me, when they lost their husband. Mm-hmm. So I'll just try to make a note on my calendar or something like that. And on the 1 year anniversary, just mm-hmm. contact them and say, I'm thinking of you today. Yeah. And I've probably got more responses from that, just that somebody remembered a year later.
Yeah.
And I know that came out of my experience mm-hmm. that God just lays that on my heart to do.
Mm-hmm.
But like you mentioned, the practicals, you know, I'm a younger widow, yeah. so I can climb on the ladder to clean my ceiling fan or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But a lot of ladies can't do that.
Yeah.
And I know I've heard a story about somebody going into a woman's house. She finally asked for help. Can someone come change a light bulb for me? Mm-hmm. And he went in and she only had one light bulb that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because she got to that point where she had to ask.
Yeah. Seeing a need before it's asked.
And so the guy left and went and bought all new light bulbs and, you know, got her back in shape. But, you know, it's a lot of things. Decorating yeah. for Christmas can mm-hmm. be a huge thing for widows.
Yeah.
And just families in general, because they don't know how to carry on the holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for you and for me, while you're grieving the loss of your husband, and also you lost parents, but mm-hmm. if we're talking specifically about losing your husband, you're grieving that as a spouse, but you're also walking through the loss with your children losing their yes. father. And for me, losing my dad, I'm walking through losing my dad. I'm walking through worrying about and caring for my mom who's lost her spouse. And then, you know, we were very, our kids were very involved in my dad's illness. We kept them, you know, they sat outside the hospital in a car with us singing worship music and praying. And we were teaching them, you know, we're going to pray and believe for a miracle because we serve a God of miracles. And so when their poor little hearts had been crushed at loss, it was walking through grief with my children, all the while grieving myself. So grief is a multi-layered approach. And oftentimes we don't get to just hole up in a corner and right. do our own grief journey.
No.
Talk about that a little bit, what that looked like for you.
So for me, of course, it was my husband. So there was mm-hmm. just so much emotion there. But just to watch your children struggle.
Yeah.
You know, my son would say, Mom, I don't know anybody my age who's lost their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter, she was planning to get married and we did move up her wedding so that her daddy could mm-hmm. walk her down the aisle. But that's still just a very emotional mm-hmm. thing for her. So it's just hard, but it allows you time to be able to pour even more into them mm-hmm. about the faithfulness of God and that he's there with them. And my kids have been able to take what they've experienced and yeah. help others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had friends go through similar things now
yeah.
and they'll call them like first thing
mm-hmm.
because they know they've been there.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we all need to learn mm-hmm. is we've all been there.
Yeah.
So let's join arms and help the others through that.
Yeah. I know that you did not just stay stuck in your grief journey. I've seen, as an outsider looking in, the ways that you are just continuing to build a life beyond your grief journey. So tell us a little bit about kind of what the Lord's done in your own life and the things that you're involved with now as a result of having walked through grief.
Okay. If God would have given me a glimpse of what life would look like for me 5 years later, it would probably scare me to death. But it's been incremental. I mean, mm-hmm. just steps. And in the beginning, I figured out, you know, nobody knows what to do with me. I'm a widow and people are like, ooh, scared to death. Mm-hmm. And I started looking for resources and there just were not very many. Mm-hmm. And so out of that, I just started feeling inside that God was building a ministry from my experience. And I just wanted to make it better for people coming after me, for mm-hmm. ladies. So started doing that, and God started dropping me breadcrumbs along the way just to follow him. And each step would lead to the next, and he would give me more direction mm-hmm. and guidance. Yeah, he truly ordered my steps. Mm-hmm. And so I became involved with a ministry called Widow's Link and became a missionary associate and then a chaplain to widows. So mm-hmm. God used each step along the way to get me there. And then last year I became involved with another organization called Stand in the Gap, and they focus on ministries to widows, orphans, and prisoners. And so with the two organizations, I've been able to be a part of helping churches, you know, come together and fulfill the biblical mandate to care for widows.
Yeah, that's great. I think a concept that we've talked about before is just this beautiful picture of how this good and this hard coexists in the middle of deep pain and deep loss and suffering. You know, Jesus is acquainted with our suffering. And I think that's such a comfort. One of the things that I think I'm most grateful for in the grief journey is as I've taken time just to give myself grace, just to mm-hmm. sit and to rest and to sit in suffering with Jesus, because he knows what that's like. I felt a level of closeness to Jesus that I can't explain, you know, despite the pain, despite the difficulty. It does take us to new depths in our, I think, our relationship with Jesus, but also just this beautiful picture of how joy and grief and loss and pain can coexist.
Yes.
And I think that's a beautiful thing that you're getting to walk out. Talk a little bit about how meeting the needs of others in turn meets your own or ministers to your own needs. Okay.
So one of the first things I started doing was I became a grief share facilitator, and just being able to meet with other people and help them along their grief journey, really, that's when I started healing. Was when I kind of started focusing on other people.
Yeah.
And that's still true today. If I find myself in a place where I'm just kind of struggling right now, it's time for me to find a need and mm-hmm. meet it. And I think that's true for all of us.
Yeah.
That look outside yourself. It's so easy for us to become, you know, looking inside and me, yeah. my needs, and mm-hmm. other people are hurting too. And a lot of my healing came from helping others.
Yeah, I love that. Before we leave, I'm going to kind of just do some takeaways or things I'd like to leave, and then you can do the same. I think if there's anything I could encourage others who are walking through grief in, would be give yourself grace. This isn't over in 2 weeks when the world expects you just to return to life as it was before. You might need to clear that calendar. You might need to rest for a while. You're not alone. The things that you're walking through, the emotions, the physical struggles, they're real and they're part of the grief process and you're not alone. Don't stay isolated. We're going to link some resources as we share this, but Grief Share is one. You've talked about Stand in the Gap and Widow's Link that you're a part of. There's lots of resources. Reach out to someone. You may not have the verbiage or the words to say, but just say, I need some help. I need someone. Go to your church and reach out to a trusted friend. Don't stay in that place of isolation and loneliness in your grief. And then also that, as it is with the story of Jesus from the beginning of time, he's been making a way out and making a way of rescue for his people. And the fact that our days here on earth, that's scriptural, our days are numbered, it's a fact. But when we walk through that, when we walk through the end chapter of someone's days being numbered, that's hard. But because of Jesus, we know that we have the hope of glory, that because of his resurrection and because of eternity with him, we get to be with our loved ones again one day. We aren't without hope. We don't grieve as those without hope. And so those are just thoughts that I would like to leave with people. Don't rush the process. The Lord is teaching you new things about him, new things about his character. And I believe that he takes all of our pain and uses it for purpose. And so your story is not done, even though you're left feeling alone, possibly, and questioning. The verse that I stand on quite often in my life is for consider the sufferings of this present time, not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. Yes. Our suffering is temporary. I heard just the other day, someone said, you're just passing through. And while we want to steward our time well here, we know this isn't the end for us. What would you like to leave with those listening today?
Similar thoughts.
Yeah.
Because it is very isolating to go through grief, just to reach out to people. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for most people to open up and say, mm-hmm. hey, I need some help today.
Yeah.
Hey, would you pray for me? So just plan things on your calendar. There was a time when I would schedule my Saturdays because Saturday was the worst day for me. Mm-hmm. So I would make sure I had an appointment, meeting somebody for breakfast first thing in the morning. Just sometimes you have to plan your own things, mm-hmm. but get out. Don't mm-hmm. let yourself be isolated from the world and just lean on the Lord.
Yeah.
Just find a way to be in an atmosphere of resting in him. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the true rest is.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining me today, Jolita. Thanks for your vulnerability, for sharing your story. There's a whole lot more to grief. You can't begin to, you just can scratch the surface in a 20, 30, 40 minute session. I don't even know how long we've been going, but there's lots of resources out there. Don't suffer alone is what we want to say to you. And there's hope. We do not yes. grieve without hope.
For sure. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to our conversation today. You can find more episodes of Gather at iphc.org/gatherpodcast.